This is the Upstaging Gentlemen podcast. This is Michael with Play With Your Food Productions.
And Nathan with Legendary Productions.
And here is our host, Alfonso Garcia.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, Alfonso. So what's going on?
Not much. So this podcast is taking off, all right? Let's just start right off the bat.
Dude, an insane amount of downloads, viewership. It's insane. Hey,
we got to give a shout out, though, because typically the episodes drop at midnight. I mean, as soon as the clock hits 12 o'clock on Sunday morning, we drop the episode. And without fail, the very first listeners are now coming from a place called Boardman, Oregon.
Thank you, Oregon.
Every time. Like, it can be like, I'll drop the episode 12 o'clock, and it, like, 12 o'clock in 2 seconds, we'll already have had a download from Boardman, Oregon. And so I got to know, like, again, Boardman, Oregon, who's listening there? You have to send us a message. I want to know. I want to meet you.
I can't even say
like,
thanks,
Mom. What is going on? Yeah.
I'm just grateful that it's an easy-to-pronounce city, that it is not Fukuoka.
No, yes. It's pronounced at... I'm not allowed to say the correct pronunciation.
Correct.
John is, he had to edit it last time. I guess John, he doesn't like to have actual pronunciations listed on the podcast.
So I don't blame you, John. Thank you, man. My mom listened to it, so she was happy. But anyway, so the podcast is going crazy. Lots of downloads, lots of viewership. We've had some guests on, other theater groups reaching out, getting involved, and we're posting or talking about their theater company, all kinds of cool stuff. Really loving the partnership of basically sharing art across the board. I love that so much. Inspiring people, encouraging people.
We get a lot of people reaching out from the local area. Mm-hmm. Is where we've had most of our guests and stuff from. But still, we're getting like so many listeners that are global, and I would like to hear from them. Like, maybe Please. They won't write in because they don't think we'll answer them or something. We will.
If you're a different country and you're listening and it translates, we will get it translated, I promise.
Yeah, hit us up on our Buzzsprout or on Spotify. You can leave comments or on our Instagram or on Facebook.
The Apple Podcast, even iHeart. There's all kinds of places.
Seriously, we would love to hear from you guys and to be able to talk about it. Because I would love to know what type of theater is going on, worldwide and what's happening.
And what can we learn from you? I mean, maybe there's some stuff you've been doing through your theater that we could be like, oh, that works. Like, Thank You Five? That would be a great thing to tell Mike that works.
Thank You Five. Now, that's interesting because you had such a visceral reaction to Thank You Five on an earlier episode. And
Mike did. I love it.
That was Michael that had, Now, that got me thinking more. Is it just that... Now, I'm going to open this up to theater traditions in general, because I think we can have some fun with this. But what is it about... And you might have said this, but what is it about Thank You Five that drives you crazy? And I have a follow-up to that.
I don't know exactly. I think it was the first time I ever heard it used, and the person that delivered it, the stage manager comes in and was like, 5 minutes, and I get... it's like this kiss-up actor, Thank You Five! And I'm like, the hell was that? What did you just do? I said, Thank You Five. Like, what? Why did you just say thank you? I've never heard it before. And this was, I'm trying to remember how long ago this was. It was probably about 15 years ago. So we know that Thank You Five has been around for a while. I can't remember how long, but that incident was about 15 years ago. And I don't know. It just bothered me. It's not, I have nothing against the people that say it, but it's just one of those things that
Well, I like it because it just lets you know that people heard. Because sometimes you're in a big dressing room or a green room, and you're like, hey, 2 minutes or 5 minutes till Places. Places is 2 minutes, but we'll call Places call. You walk out and then someone goes, oh, I didn't hear that. That's why I missed ... But if a room goes, Thank You Five, Thank You Places, there's no excuse because we heard it. It got repeated. Where were you at? Like, what's going on?
I know why it's good. I know why it's valuable. I just don't like it.
And I love kiss-ups.
I don't like it. I don't know. Thank You, Five. Come on. Let's be real. Let's get real right here.
I'm getting
real. I don't want to talk to Nathan, the producer,
Nathan
the actor, and we're not going to talk to Michael, the producer or director.
Okay, let's hear it.
We're going to talk about us as the actors. Okay. Someone comes in and says, 5 minutes, what do we do?
Shut up.
That's exactly what we do.
I'm just keeping it real. I'll get ready when I want to.
We'll get ready when we want to. It's like, 5 minutes, That means in about 4 minutes, we'll start getting ready.
Yeah, I'll put my costume on then.
Okay. I don't know. Maybe that's why.
Okay.
But put back the other hats. Thank you, Five.
Thank you, Five. Good job, guys. Appreciate you.
I'm glad that was invented. Very worthwhile.
All right. What other
thing? I'm the obnoxious one, though. If you say, like, hey, there's going to be pizza in the green room, I'm like, thank you, pizza. Like, I'll be obnoxious about it. Like, so, like,
When people do that, I go in there and lick every slice. I'm like, okay, Alfonso, pick one, buddy. I'm just kidding. What other stuff you got? I'm interested to hear about this.
But, like, theater traditions are not just sayings like that, right? There's just traditions go into expectations. So I would even go into something like, it's traditional to help out on the set that you're working on for the show you're doing, right? And on a recent episode, we spoke with some ladies at the Redlands Theater Festival. And they're very involved in that. So what would you say to that? Would you say that that is a tradition, or is that something that falls into two different categories?
I think it goes back to stuff we said in the past. As long as expectations are communicated, I think as long as you're like, hey, if you're a part of this show, because I build a lot of our sets at our theater too, I would love for me to be like, all 56 of you have to be here for set building. But that's not how we always run our theater. We put it out there if you want to volunteer. But there are theaters that say, hey, to be involved here, you need to be either part of set crew, tech crew, some type of crew to be involved. So I think as long as you're communicative, I think that's fine. But in the past, I've tried at other theaters that I've been involved. I'm like, hey, on closing before cast party, you have to help load out. Well, that works. But then the party's already started before you get there and everyone's like gone. You're like, oh, well, I stayed to help. I'm a nice guy, but where's the pizza? Alfonso took it.
You know what's an interesting tradition?
What's that?
Macbeth. Saying Macbeth. The Scottish play.
I was teeing that one up for you. I'm glad you went there, Michael. Speak to that, please. What is that, actually?
Okay, so I first heard this. I mean, I'm going to tell you my Macbeth story. And I was a teenager at the time. And, you know, you hear the story, and I'm just going into college. I'm like 18 years old, getting ready to go into my first college play. And, you know, in when I was in high school, you know, I first learned of the tradition, don't say Macbeth in the theater. Bad things will happen. And, you know, I thought it was funny. No, it won't. That's stupid. Nothing's going to happen. And, you know, me in high school, me. So I get into college, and I'm looking for a transitional topic to, you know, just, you know, meet with the new people, like some people, how about those Dodgers, you know, whatever. And so we're getting ready to do this play, Camelot, my first college play. And we were kind of going into, I think we were in tech rehearsal, and I'm still, you know, and back then, if you've heard the other episodes, I'm quiet Mike, I don't talk to anybody. And, you know, and the one time I do decide to open my mouth, boy, do I blow it. I look to the guy next to me who's, you know, also just a college freshman, and we're in costume, we're ready to do our scene, and I was like, we weren't in the theater, we were like in an outside building, and I said something about wouldn't it be weird if somebody said Macbeth right now? And he looks at me like he shot me the look, like I had, you know, just done the most horrendous thing ever. He looks at me and goes, don't say that! And I was like, well, we're not in the theater. He's like, don't even say it in here. Oh, geez. Ah. And he gets up and leaves. Well, he goes and tells people. And pretty soon, everybody knows I have cursed the play. And it got into a fight, like literally, because half the people were like, can you believe he did this? And other people were like, dude, shut up. I don't want to hear about it anymore. That curse is not real. Or don't even waste a second time talking about it. Like, forget about it. It's stupid. It is not stupid. And pretty soon, people who weren't even in the problem, you know, in the original discussion, had an issue with it. And I'd done a bad thing. But I will never forget this. That had a staircase, this big, gigantic staircase for Camelot in the castle. And people would walk down the stairs, and there was going to be this scene where we were going to have a processional down the staircase. And I don't think the staircase had a railing. The staircase did not have a railing on it. Just stairs down. And this gigantic guy, I mean, I think this guy was like, you know, must have been like 500 pounds. I mean, huge, huge guy. and he's getting ready to start off the processional, and we're still at the stairs, and we're talking about, you know, Macbeth. It's real. No, it's not. Yes, it is. Bad things are going to happen. And finally, this guy goes, you know what? I don't believe in it at all. Watch Macbeth, Macbeth, Macbeth. Go, your cue for the stairs. Oh, sorry. Starts down the stairs. Boom, 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 bam. Tumbles down the whole staircase after saying Macbeth three times, and everybody else is just sitting there like, oh, we told you it was real, you know. And I'm sitting at this guy's at the bottom like, oh, my leg. Like, he had it worse off than you and your stick incident that you mentioned a few episodes back. Well, I think he broke his leg or something. Ooh. It was bad. And it's hard to say that because he's up there, Macbeth, Macbeth, Macbeth. And then he tumbles right after that.
I just have a hard time because I'm personally not a superstitious person. That's not my style.
Well, then you are in the wrong industry.
But I don't know why I would ever say Macbeth unless I'm in that show. Like, I'm in, like, Oklahoma. I'm like, Macbeth. Like, random word. Like, why? Why?
So have you ever had to, like, participate in a tradition like that in theater that you're not necessarily comfortable with, but it's like, well, this is part of the culture, so I'm just going to go along with it?
Not that I'm aware of. I probably, if someone said, don't say Macbeth, I'd be like, that's not even in my vocabulary, so okay. Like, I can handle that. But, for example, good luck. Like, you know, producers, don't say good luck. It's bad luck to say good luck on opening night. So I always tell you guys, every show, I always go, good luck, break legs, whatever you need to hear, because some people want to hear good luck. Some people want to hear break a leg.
Nobody wants to hear Macbeth.
No, I wouldn't say it. Unless someone said, Nathan, what's that word? I'd be like, Macbeth.
Actually, Michael, how do you reverse that curse? Because there is a way.
Okay, that was what made me think.
Is there really a way?
Yes, that's what made me absolutely not believe that the curse of Macbeth was real. Because when I first heard the original story about how Macbeth came to be, and maybe there's many stories. I'm sure there are many stories because people, it's like, you know, little kids telling campfire stories. Yeah. And the guy with the hook.
Passed on.
They found the hook on the... like, you know, on the mirror, and there's 20 jillion versions of that. So I like the version I heard of Macbeth where Shakespeare was hired by a patron to write this play. And so he went out into the forest where he knew that the witches met, and he hid himself and he listened to them come out and do their incantation. And he wrote what they said, and he went and he put it in their play. And when the witches found out that, he had exposed them, they put a curse on the play so that if that name of the play was even mentioned, it would be cursed. And to this day, Alfonso, the curse of Macbeth holds still and true and
hard. How do you break it?
But how do you break it, though?
If you do fall prey unto the curse of these witches, what you have to do, at least this is what I heard, is something to the effect of you have to sing, give my regards to Broadway, spin in a circle, and spit. Is that, did you read anything about that? That's literally, is that the one that you read?
Literally.
That's stupider than Thank You Five.
Yeah, that's literally what you do.
I'm not going to argue that one. That's weird. That reminds me of the games I used to play as kids where you look in the mirror and say Candyman or like Bloody Mary and all this.
Yeah. No, you don't understand. I know a guy who had somebody that he knew disappear because he did Bloody Mary.
The toilet flushed one time I was in there.
And oh,
I was
shoot. Like, oh, no.
He's here.
Oh no!
I've never gotten into that superstition, so it kind of freaks me out.
Well, what about what about the ghost light on stage?
Well, I do it for safety reasons. Like, we'll leave a light on so people don't fall off the stage, but I don't know the superstition behind it.
Hey, do you remember when we were doing Jackie Robinson at Mount San Jacinto College?
I do remember that.
That is like the one theater that. Yeah, that place will give me the heebie-jeebies when the lights are out.
It gave me heebie-jeebies, too. There's a lot of crevices and cricks and noises.
I just remember, like, initially, like, we were in there, and we were in the wings, and the wings were lit, but on stage, it was dark, and I was like, I walked out onto the stage, and I could feel it in my stomach, just something in the pit of my stomach.
For sure.
And I was like, Nathan, you walk out there, see how far you get. You came back pretty quick, too.
It was freaking. Part of it is I didn't know where the end of the stage was. I was like, I'm going to biff it. I'm going to fall face first on the ground. I think that's really the reason for the ghost light,
but
I don't know.
Hey, there is this, I don't know the theater's name. It's on Broadway and it's a very haunted theater. And that's a very, to this day, I think that there's a Disney show playing in there now, but there is an actress who is said to still be seen there today that performed on vaudeville and was a famous actress, and they even have a picture of her hanging up backstage, and people will still see her to this day. And that's an interesting one too. Shoot, I wish I knew her name. I'm blanking on it right now. I think it's the New Amsterdam Theater, maybe, or used to be the New Amsterdam Theater. But I don't know. Theater ghost stories are something that really, really intrigue me. Like, I like that. I like those stories. It's fun to hear those.
Do you believe in those? Like, do you think they're real, or do you just like the history of it?
I don't know. I truly don't know, but I like the stories.
And because I'm so imaginative, even watching movies, like scary movies, like I don't dislike them. I'm not into the whole demonic stuff, but watching scary movies, all of a sudden my window that's open or the blinds that are open, I magically just get up and shut them. I'm like, I'm going to shut these. Not because I'm afraid, but really there's a subliminal message going, it's out there. They're in the bushes. You know, it kind of gives you little heebie-jeebies.
Well, you know what? Like, I've always liked M. Night Shyamalan. Mm-hmm. And
I do too.
And I know, you know, people are pro M. Night Shyamalan. Some people don't like him at all, but I've always really enjoyed him. And one of the things that he said in an interview when they asked him is like, well, do you expect people are going to watch your stuff and then believe in ghosts? And he's like, that doesn't matter. It's just, we're talking about possibilities.
Right.
Like, let's just say that this was a possibility. So you don't believe in ghosts, that's fine. But let's just say in this story, in this context, there's a possibility that it does exist. And that's, I mean, if you let yourself go there, right, and be like,
that's your job as an artist, I think a performer, yeah, is to do that.
And just like, okay, let's open ourselves up to a possibility. But yeah, that's like, that's art.
Right.
Okay. I don't like this myself, but let's discuss it.
And not just scary, but even romance and stuff. A lot of romance is embellished. You're like, that might probably not happen in real life. You know, it's like, it's embellished for a reason. It could happen. Mm-hmm. And you're like, I want maybe that to happen. That's where you're creating that sense of disbelief or reality, you know. That's the point.
Yeah. Hey, you know, and if anybody listening has a good ghost story, you should let us know. I would love to know that.
That'd be cool. Mm-hmm. I love hearing them.
Because do you remember, like, you know, back when we were just sitting in my jacuzzi and we were, you know, we'd always meet up and talk.
Yes.
You know where I'm going.
Yes, I do. Yes.
But this was pre-podcast. This is where we always, you know, we'd have the same discussions as we're having now, but we'd just be at my place. And one night, because at least once a year, you used to stay the whole night and would stay up all night and we'd watch the sunrise.
4 or 5 in the morning, 6.
Yeah, we'd always watch the sunrise. And God, we haven't done that in a while. I miss that.
Let's do it.
Oh, you're invited, but I bet you're not going to show up.
Well,
I'm going to put on the pressure right now.
Let me know when.
All right. But we got to telling ghost stories one night.
Yeah.
And you know, it was late at night and we were each telling ghost stories. And, you know, by that point, we were into it. Like we were
a palm frond moved, and I wet my pants because I was in a jacuzzi, but
yeah, no,
wet
no.
A suit.
Do you remember? It was the morning sprinklers.
Yeah,
that came
from
on
the other side of your house, right? Or was it in your house?
It was my sprinklers, yeah. And we're sitting there, and then the lady in the white dress walked up, the and the sprinklers came on, and we both jumped. And I look over at Nathan. He's like, "Oh, I peed myself." And then, like a minute later, you're like, "I'm still peeing."
Well, that's probably accurate. Also, for many years, there was this possum that would always walk across your back wall.
It still does.
Shut up.
I don't know if it's the same possum, but
yeah, but maybe generations. But it was weird. Like, they've lived forever, I guess. But we'd be sitting there, and sure enough, all of a sudden, we'd be talking about whatever. Oh, there's a little possum walking across the back wall. Every time.
See, the possum has a tradition as well. Maybe he was going to the theater. Maybe someone told him, the show's in 5 minutes, and he said, thank you, 5, and off he went.
On my way.
Possums
my
understand.
Way. Yeah. Yes, thank you. Any other traditions that I'm not aware of?
So, you know, okay, so, like, one of the cool things for you as director is one of the traditions is director gets that gift at the end of the show. That doesn't happen all the time, but it happens sometimes. What would you say is the coolest gift that you've gotten as a director? Start with you, Nate.
Oh.
Or have you never been once given a gift as a director?
Well, it'd be funny if I said I never got a gift, but I have gotten gifts.
You were thinking, okay.
I actually have them around. Okay. They're all
as
over
I see
place.
Them, yeah.
But however, it it's very flattering when you get a gift. After a while, you're like, I'm running out of desk space, mantel space, walls. Like, even at home office, you're like, okay, well. And then your kids start bringing stuff home. You're like, sorry, the fridge is taken with my awards from Cast, or that shelf is mine. You know, I'm kidding. But it's really flattering when the cast take the time to give you a gift. It's really, really sweet. There is a little bit when they don't, though. You're like, ah, crap. Even though you don't really want one, but it's the mindset of, ah, dang it. But the best gift one time was a director's chair, actually. It had prints on the back. And it's hard for me to use it because I feel so arrogant using it. They're actually set up in the theater in the back right now, dust all over them. I love that so much, but I always feel weird using it. It's like, do I need a director's chair to be like, I'm Prince the director? You know, it's kind of weird. But that gift is cool. That was a really special one. But they all have been special. I don't know that there's one that really stands out that's like the best, because there's so many emotions that go into when a cast give a gift. You're like, oh, that meant a lot. So I don't know.
I like good cigars. I like it when the cast give me cigars.
Okay. Hint, hint. If you're in his theater, get Mike cigars. I think the best gift is to I'm not just saying this to be cheesy, is having them come back. I think that's the best gift, is having the cast return to be a part of another show with you. That to me is a better payout than actually a tangible gift. But I do like, we have Little Mermaid posters and Oklahoma posters, Children of Eden. There's all kinds of Into the Woods. Into the Woods. There's all kinds of stuff. And I love that. It's just a cool memorabilia. But for me, seeing the cast come back is where I go, all right, we're doing something right. They want to be involved.
And I see. We're getting sentimental. Well, if that's the case, I will. I won't amend my answer, but I'll give a companion piece to a good gift along with those good cigars. I think with the end of a show, if a cast can look at me and tell me honestly, here's another show where we have successfully avoided saying thank you five, bless them. Bless them, Alfonso. Bless them.
A wonderful tradition.
I will happily tell them that.
You know what popped into my head right now? And
Pamela Anderson.
Always. But in this case right here, I had a conversation with somebody recently, and I'm going to shoehorn this into this conversation because, okay, well, let's call it a tradition.
Take it.
And that's, somebody was talking to me about the director giving notes. And I would say that's a tradition. The director sits down and gives the cast notes. Somebody, I'm not going to name who they were, told me that they thought that that was actually a disrespectful way to handle it, to call people out like that, notes. So what's your stance on that? Obviously, I mean, we, as directors, you give notes, but what would you say to that? Start with you, Michael.
Well, that's interesting. and you know what? I have actually seen a director that doesn't give notes publicly. He'll email the notes, or he'll actually, back in the day, he would mail the notes. Now, this was for a pretty major production,
mm-hmm,
and so they, you know, and they only rehearsed on the weekends. It was a pageant. So he'd be like, okay, your notes will go into the mail on Monday, and, you know, you get them by Tuesday or Wednesday or whatever. But he would not give public notes. And I really think that it definitely, I'm curious as to why the actor that said that would think that. You know, does he think that about every director? Was the director who happened to be giving him the notes, did he rub them the wrong way? Was he cruel about the notes? Was he like, that's the stupidest, worst staging I've ever seen anyone do. You're a horrible actor. Well, yeah, that probably shouldn't be said in front of people, but I think if it's just general notes.
Her mentality was, well, it's not for everybody to know what my mistake was. It's for you to privately tell me what my mistake is. No, I will say, like, my personal belief is, as we all sit there and the director's giving the notes, it's helping me, actually, if he gives that note to somebody else, because, okay, I might be doing something similar, so I'm going to know that's probably what I should be doing. So a note for you specifically is probably a note in general, and that's personally why that's the way I look at notes. But Nate, like, what would you say to that?
My DJ,
unless you want
to. I could see how, you know, an actor would feel that way, because it's, you put yourself out there, you want to hear the good things, and you hear about the mistakes, and there are people that are hypersensitive to that, or maybe they just don't get any praise at all. Maybe the only time they get recognition is a director telling them what they've done wrong, and, you know, that is kind of part of the game, and I think they got to see that, and it's, you know, hopefully it's nothing personal with the director. Hopefully they're, you know, there's a good camaraderie going on with them and the rest of the cast, and just to the point where you can take a note and realize it's for the better picture, and maybe it's not maybe about something that you're doing wrong so much as like it's a way to improve the performance. It's a way to make the whole bigger picture look better. And I would hope that people would be able to see it like that. But there are some directors that, I've worked under a few that have not been nice about it. And it's like, I really wish I didn't get that note in public. I mean, I could see that. I could see that. I think the director's delivery of those notes makes all the difference there. Take it away.
Yeah, I agree with both of what you, a lot of what both of you are saying. My first answer is not everyone deserves a ribbon or a trophy. Like, there's always room to grow, and it's okay if people know that you're not perfect. There's a comedian that has a whole stand-up thing about wussification. I think that's okay that you're not perfect, and I think if you're trying to give that illusion to your castmates or anyone, why? Like, we're all there to learn and grow together. But like you said, Alfonso, and mainly the reason I do it, now, if an actor or actress is singing off-key, it's something that I think would be embarrassing for them. I will tell them privately. I'll say, hey, see me after. Or like, hey, talk to me afterwards. And I've actually done that with you, not because you're singing off key, Alfonso, but something that was more personal to you as the performer. Mm-hmm. I'll be like, hey, let's go this direction that not everyone needs to hear. It's not even that it's private, but it only applied to you. And what you said is very, for me, 99% of the time, I say it. So if I give you or anyone a note specifically, it's so everyone else hears that's a note that they could apply to themselves. And if it doesn't apply to them, cool, awesome. But it may be applied to more than one person. So I think if they're offended by it, that's a insecurity thing I would imagine for themselves, because it's not personal. I'm not going, I'm picking on you. But again, if it's something that could be a little bit more sensitive, if it is someone singing off key or their character's not coming through or they're dropping lines, and I will sometimes say out loud, hey, I know your lines were dropped in this scene. Let's work on the memorization for that. I will call them out in front of the rest of the cast because it is an ensemble. They're not pulling their weight right now. And I want the team to know that I noticed that they're not stepping up and doing their part. So I do think that is part of it is, I don't want to use the word embarrassment, but letting them know, like my coach in basketball, if I shoot an air ball, he's not going to go, hey, Nathan, next time you need to make a shot, bro. He's going to yell and go, hey, stop shooting threes you can't make. Knowing that the rest of the team's having to cover my slack. So I think there's a little bit of a learning thing out loud. I think that's okay.
Yeah, but that's such a interesting comparison because I noticed this. Like I saw a football coach one time and I was like, it seems like the requirement to be a football coach is to, you know, three things. One, you have to yell. Mm-hmm. Two, you have to tell them what they're doing wrong. And three, you have to attach an insult to it. So like, hey, stupid, my grandma could have caught the ball better than you, and she's been dead since 1917. Boy, are you a moron. Next. It's like, that is the job of the coach. Now, if a director tried that.
Oh, you'd be canceled. Yeah. No, that'd be bad. But I also think being someone that played football and basketball and baseball, but playing those sports, sometimes in those moments, your adrenaline's pumping. Only thing got my attention was when he grabbed my mask and basically headbutt me and go, hey, stop whatever, Mike, whatever he just said, all those things about your mother's grandma or something. But in that moment, that made me go, oh, hit the guy, oh, you know, like, or whatever. But I think as far as no giving out loud, I don't think if it's personal and it's offensive or it might be somewhere it's like, oh, you made me look stupid. Like if I was like, oh, you're off key again tonight. But at the same time, if you're off key, you're off key. You represent yourself that you'd be on key.
I think it's probably like it's more if they're saying something too out loud,
yeah,
that you can call it out.
And
right?
You could, like, be as a director. There's, yeah, definitely ways you could be passive aggressive going, oh, can we try singing on key tomorrow?
Right.
That's obviously not the way you should tell someone notes. Have I done that? Maybe once or twice. But we're humans too.
But, well, how about, let's say an actor came up to you beforehand and they were just up front with you. You cast them and they say, hey, listen, I'm very particular in the way I'm spoken to, so I'd appreciate it if you have a note for me, no matter what it is, you just give it to me privately, not in front of the cast. How would you respond to that?
Oh, man.
Yeah. But it's exactly like that. They framed it like that.
I would say, hey, I hear you. Anything, I would say, I hear you. I totally will do that if it's personal to you. But if it's a general note and it's applying to everybody, but if it's something's personal, I'll come to you, but that's not how I give notes. That is what I would say probably. But I also, I would respect it. It would probably be the person in the context that they brought it. It would probably depend on the situation. Because if, but at the same time, I'm not giving notes to be condescending anyway. So I probably would just say, hey, here's how I give notes. I'd probably let them know how I do it. And we would dialogue it a little bit further. My first response would be like, oh, no. Because you're a part of this team. And the team, I'm not doing that to everybody else. And again, if it's offensive or they look foolish, I probably would. But I don't know.
How about you, Michael? How would you handle that?
I mean, I think it would be, I think it would be cool if they brought that up. I mean, if that's really something that, yeah, the fact that they were cool enough to come up and just say, hey, this is something that I struggle with. I don't take notes well, and, or I don't, maybe I don't deal with failure well, or I don't feel like, you know, I want to be, I don't want to be publicly embarrassed. And some people feel that way. And I was like, you know, I think I would be okay with that. My cast typically are a lot smaller than what, like, something Nathan would deal with. And so I can do that because the cast size that I usually look for, 7 to 8 people, is like a dream. If I can get those 7 to 8 people, and that's small enough that I could do individual notes. I think Nathan had a bit harder of a time with that.
I will say, I've actually had that situation where this actress came to me and asked to do notes privately, and I said, I pretty much said similar to that. I said, yeah, I'll do general notes out loud, and then asked to you specifically, you and I could chat about, but if I give you a note out loud, write it down, we'll talk about it after, so we don't have to have an open discussion. And because some people would like to discuss it or quote-unquote argue your notes anyway.
Debate the point.
So yeah. then we're there for another half hour discussing on why you should just do the notes that I'm giving. But at the same time, I'm all about dialogue. So if they're communicative, I'll probably err on than I have in the past. Or I'll sit down and go over it if it's personal to them. But sometimes I want to give it general because you are a part of the team. I want people to see that you are a part of this team too. It's not special treatment. So, but I too like the communication. I'd be more inclined to that.
I think it's cool when, you know, if they were to do that and then, you know, you did it as they would like. They the notes in private. And eventually they felt comfortable enough and enough part of the team that they start allowing, you know, they'll take the notes publicly. You know, maybe not for everybody, but it's cool because that means they feel more at home now. Is it wrapping up time?
Yeah, it's pretty much wrapping up.
Wrapping up time.
I want to be clear before I just let this go away. I like communication, and if you tell me that, we'll talk about it more. It's not just no. Gotta save face a little bit.
Well, as is the tradition, we will end on time with that then.
Oh, tradition. Thank you, tradition.
For the Upstaging Gentlemen podcast, I'm Alfonso.
And this is Michael with Play With Your Food Productions.
Nathan with Legendary.
Catch you guys next time.
Later.